Okay, item number five, public records rules updates, briefing and public hearing. Joanna Ide and Carol Sharpat. Hello. I don't think we've ever seen you, at least on my time on the commission. I've seen your name so often, it's nice to see you.
Give me just a moment while I flip to my correct notes here. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to do that too.
Just so I can see over that. I'm a little vertically challenged. So good morning, Madam Chair and members of the Commission. I'm Joanna Ide, the Administrative Regulations Analyst, and I'm here to brief you today on proposed updates to the public records rules for the department. And here with me, as the Chair mentioned, is Carol Turcotte, and she's the agency's public records officer. And she will be available for any questions you might have after I conclude this briefing. So I did not prepare a PowerPoint today because I was concerned that it might just be a little too much. So if you feel free to follow along with me once I do get into, just I'll do a brief rundown of what each section will entail. But first I'll do a quick introduction for you just to give you some background on the project. As you know, the Department of Fisheries and the Department of Wildlife consolidated in 1994, and our agency's RCWs were updated after that, but not all the rules in the department's repertoire were, and unfortunately, our public records rules fell into that category of ones that were kind of left by the wayside. There are currently on the books two sets of conflicting public records rules, one for the Department of Fisheries and one for the Department of Game. So even when we did consolidate with the Department of Wildlife, they were still in need of updating back then. So we're two steps behind a little bit. So neither of which are in full agreement with the current department policies or the Public Records Act. So we're just updating these things to make sure that we're right on the books. And this is problematic as the Public Records Act requires each agency to codify current public records in their rules. And this requirement is specifically directed by RCW 4256040. And as you'll see, the proposed changes in this package, they were co-drafted by myself, Carol, and with AAG Michael Young. And they are based on the model rules that the Attorney General's Office put out a few years ago. And So we incorporated our department's policies in with those model rules from the AG's office, and then we also did a bit more streamlining. Michael and I worked back and forth to try and whittle down some of the language a bit more because it was still a bit clunky. So tried to make it as simplistic as possible so it would be easily understandable. Let's see. The proposed changes, they merely codify current agency policies, and they make changes to existing rules to bring them into compliance with current statutory requirements of the Public Records Act. And they also, they mirror the requirements of the Public Records Act. So obviously, by rule, we cannot be more restrictive than statute. So everything that we've got in here is to the letter. Effects of these changes for that reason are going to be very minimal, and they merely, these rules will reflect our current policies within our agency and also the requirements via the Public Records Act. So basically these things have already been in effect for some time, and we're just sticking it into rule. The proposed changes and to update the public records rules and repeal the outdated and inapplicable sections, they also fall within the purview of my WAC overhaul project. And this project is aimed at streamlining, updating, and reorganizing our administrative code. And so this project and the proposed updates to the public records rules will promote more efficiency in our code and increased understanding of our department's rules and help our agency to continue to meet the high standards that we set for ourselves. Additionally, as I mentioned previously, these changes will bring us into statutory compliance with the Public Records Act, which is the number one goal of this. So with that introduction, I'll just walk you through section by section, just a brief couple sentences on what they entail, because it's kind of long and involved. as you'll see. So the first WAC that we're amending is WAC 2208010, and it's amended to have a more descriptive title and to explain the purpose of the chapter in providing public records. WAC 2208020 is proposed to be amended to describe the department and the authority given to it by the legislature. So this is just a general rundown of what it is. And these things are all outlined in the model rules as well, so we kind of adopted a little bit of those sort of tactics and kept them.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Jennings.
Thank you. In the past, we talked a little bit about the difference between agency and department.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, agency includes a commission, the department doesn't, or vice versa. So when I read this, where does the commission fit into this process? Are we considered part of the department in this context?
That's an interesting question, actually. I'm not quite sure. I think as far as public records are concerned, anything that happens. So this will be an all-encompassing thing. I'm sorry, I'm using the terms interchangeably today.
And the only reason I bring it up would be, since you define the department being the staff and employees, does it make sense to stick in the commission as a possible edit?
Duly noted. I'll definitely put that in there.
I believe we are considered employees, are we not? I think we are.
Yes.
Or staff. I'll take a look at the definition and vet that and make sure
I'm just
that
asking the question. So.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I really
Director
appreciate
Anderson.
It.
Well, it is in statute that the definition of the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife is the commission and the agency staff.
Okay.
So it's
okay. Where are we at? Okay. The third rule that's amended is WAC 2208030, and it's proposed to be amended to update the description of the department's organization and give current office locations and contact information for DFW headquarters and regional offices. It also directs the reader to our website for current contact information, so just in case any of that happens to go out of date, and in the meantime, while we're trying to update that, the public will still be able to find current information on the website, as they'll be directed there. WAC 2208040 is proposed to be amended to describe the public records officer position, duties, contact information, and authority. WAC 2208050 is amended to detail what records are available online and when records are available for inspection, the location of records, and restrictions on viewing records. WAC 2208060 is amended to address
Madam
requirements.
Chair.
Oh, yeah. Commissioner Jennings?
Oh, sorry. Yes, sir.
So, we actually got comments on section 050.
I received those as well.
And I'm looking at the language in paragraph labeled 2 that says, based on other demands on the agency and or the nature of the requested records, you may limit, and it doesn't even say expand, it says limit the hours when they're available. So when I read that as a WAC, I'm like, oh, other demands on the agency or based on the nature of the records, that's pretty vague to me. That seems like there's a lot of discretion. And if I was a concerned citizen, I would think, oh, you know, why is it up to you? What's the actual criteria by which you'll be making those decisions?
The criteria is actually offered in the Public Records Act itself. And it says that we can only restrict it based on if the severely impacts the operations of the agency. So the public records officer, Carol, will still be restricted to follow those sorts of things. So it would be a subjective judgment only to the extent of whether or not the impacts would be severe enough to limit it. And there is a certain amount of hours that the Public Records Act mandates that we must be available. And we're just going right in line with the Public Records Act on
okay.
that regard.
Okay.
So, Carol, did you have anything to add to that?
No.
Okay. Okay, we're on 2208060, and it's proposed to be amended to address requirements for requesting public records, such as the form the request must take, information to include in the request, how to adequately request records, and requirements for requesting copies of records. It also provides the availability and location of a public records request form. So this is just, yes, sir.
I'll wait till you finish.
Oh, no. I was just going to flesh that out a little bit. It just gives the reader a little bit more information on how to perhaps word a request so they can actually get all of the records they're looking for and not a copious amount of stuff, because sometimes we get requests that are very vague and cover a very broad spectrum of information. So this is just helpful information for the reader to be able to refine, you know, they're asking for records so they don't end up with thousands of pages when they're really only looking for perhaps 25.
And I'm looking at the requirements for the written request. And so if someone doesn't have an email address, how are they supposed to comply with this?
They can do it by mail.
But this says you're supposed to include an email address in your written request.
If you have one.
But that's not how I read it.
Okay. Well, I'll take a look at that one as well.
Okay. My wife does not have an email address. I would like to, you know, I'm trying to protect her interest to be able to file it.
Understandable. Okay, so moving on to WAC 2020-80080. It's proposed to be amended to describe how the department processes requests for public records, and it details the following information. The order of processing public records request. So this is basically we will address them as received, in the order received. Acknowledging receipt of request. What a requester should do when no response is received. So this is just a suggestion if in the off chance that this would actually happen, which I don't think ever does. It just gives a suggestion to the public to make sure that, you know, to follow up and just to make sure that we have actually received the request if they haven't heard anything back. What steps the agency should do to protect the rights of others, and this is for personal information and things of that nature. Records that are exempt from disclosure. Provisions for inspection of records when a records request may be refiled for non-retrieval. So that's if a person has requested an amount of records, we bring out a box and have it ready for them, contact them, notify them it will be available for a certain amount of time, and it's not picked up during that time, it gives the public records officer the authority to refile those records so they're not simply just sitting out there. That also helps with further public records requests so that we can make sure we locate all the records necessary. We also have provisions on copying records, how electronic records are processed and provided, provisions on providing records in installments, and those are for instances in which we have very large records requests, when a withdrawn or abandoned request may be closed, what the agency can do upon completion of records inspections, and procedures for later discovered documents. So that's after the disclosure has been made and we happen to find, say, there was a box that someone had set out for another person. We're refiling that. We find something else after the other person has already concluded their request, and we can notify them that we have those records. WAC 2020-80090 is amended to provide more detailed information on the costs of providing public records and to align it with actual current agency policies. WAC 2020-80100 is amended to give current, more concise information on exemptions from disclosure. WAC 2020-80110 is amended to update the rule to reflect the current procedures for review by the department, the Attorney General's office, and the judiciary of denials of public records requests. So in the off chance that we deny a public records request, first it's reviewed by the department, and then it can go to the Attorney General's office or to the judiciary, and it just outlines procedures for a person to be able to do that, somewhat like the Administrative Procedures Act. And finally, we propose the repeal of the following rules as they are outdated, unnecessary, and inaccurate. And all of the rules from Chapter 220-80 are all from fisheries, and all of the rules from Chapter 232-12 are from game. So I'll just rattle them off really quickly. First, we have 220-80070, which is titled Office Hours, 220-80120, which is Protection of Public Records, 220-80130, Records Index, 220-80-140, address for request, 220-80-150, use of record request form, 232-12-800, purpose, 232-12-804, description of central and field organization of the Department of Game, 232-12-807, excuse me, operations and procedures, 232-12-810, public records officer, 232-12-813, copying, 232-12-814, requests for public records, 232-12-820, review of denials of public records requests, and 232-12-824, which is records index. And so this is the basic overview of the package. It details just kind of what each section has. And Carol and I welcome any questions that you might have.
Okay. Very well done, as usual.
Thank you.
Thanks. It looks like the plan is to adopt these rules at a conference call coming up June or July.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any questions? Commissioner Perry?
There's a public record request, and there's information sent out. Is there currently a charge for that service, per page charge or whatever? I notice that's detailed in some in the items you went over, but is that the current practice?
Well, there's a current charge for paper copies. It's under the old AIM WAC, it was 25 cents under a page. Under the old fisheries WAC, it's 10 cents a page. And so we up until now, we've been obligated to use that lower price, but it's 10 cents per page for a paper copy. Most records are provided electronically. There are not a lot of paper. And the other thing, if number of paper documents totals less than maybe a charge of $20, we don't charge anything. Just the handling of that and the processing of that would not be cost effective.
Thank you.
Other questions? Commissioner Duvia?
Thanks, Madam Chair. This is a comment. I think it relates to this. About a month ago, the prosecutor attorney got a hold of me, and our court systems changed the regulations on crimes versus which was going to increase the prosecutor's court appearances by 30-40%, and that we had gone in and changed a lot of our offenses from crime to infractions so that wouldn't happen. He wasn't aware of that, and he was very frustrated and concerned, because I think that begins on July 1st, the court system changes. I think it could be a really positive communication piece for our department to send out to say that we dealt with that and that's not going to be a problem. Doesn't appear that a number of the prosecutors got that message, and us streamlining these issues as well, I think, would probably be positively received by them. So we might get some public relations benefit from what you're doing, as plus what we had done to stop that problem.
I'm going to have Lori Proust answer that question, since she worked on this bill that actually did criminalize law to infractions.
Good morning. Commissioner Duvia, I spoke with Pam Lajinsky. She's one of the attorneys for the Washington Association of Prosecuting Attorneys, and she had sent out an email to all of the prosecutors around the state informing them that we had decriminalized several of our crimes and that bail forfeitures were going away as a final disposition for crimes. But I think your idea is very good. And so we'll draft a letter that we will send out to the prosecutor's offices just in case there are others who missed Pam's email. So,
yeah, I think that's what happened. I think we did try to work with the system, but Bill Framer got it squared away for me with them. In their case, they were extremely concerned about the court costs that they were and how they were going to be able to deal with it. So something slipped through the cracks there. But I think we can step in and be the heroes if we tell them we saw it, we did something, it's not a problem. So,
right. Thank you.
Yeah. Deputy Chief Sensi, do you want to share something?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just thinking that, yes, we tried to respond to a problem that wasn't our making. Bail forfeitures are going away because magistrates as a collective believe that people aren't adequately advised of their rights. If they're simply issued a citation and they have the option to forfeit bail on a crime. So not so sure that the law enforcement community agrees with that perspective, but nonetheless, here we are. If it's a crime, you're going to be appearing before a magistrate, mandatory appearance. And so we tried to take, just to add some meat to the issue, we tried to take the more de minimis offenses, decriminalize those, and perhaps lessen the burden on the court itself. I've been to a lot of arraignments in my time, and I think that these types of things will move through the system relatively quickly. I'm going to take this opportunity to just give you a heads up that there appears to be some potential collateral damage that we didn't anticipate associated with decriminalizing some of our offenses. So some networking was done with the administrator, the Office of the Courts. We thought we were good to go, but they failed to advise us that if we didn't put a penalty in statute with respect to the new infractions, that automatically those infractions would become $1,000. So are we going to be issuing a $1,000 ticket for fishing with barbed hooks, failing to record your salmon? I don't think so. We're going to have to find you have the ability to mitigate when you receive either a notice of infraction or a criminal citation. But as it relates to infractions, you have an opportunity to mitigate, and I don't see a final disposition being $1,000. But the inconvenience of if you did it, but you don't have $1,000 to spend on a minor violation, and you're probably offended just based on the sticker shock alone, there's time and energy associated with having to go to court and deal with that. We recognize that. So we just recently learned of this problem. Ms. Pruce is likely going to put together some draft legislation so we can take a penalty range and plug it into statute and at least avoid the problem from continuing beyond too much beyond this year. But we'll see how it goes.
Okay, and I think one of the good points, if I understood Commissioner Duvia properly, is that we need to get some credit for this project.
Right.
For the cleaning up of the WAC, we should be spreading the word, because I think that this is a great example of government reform and making government more accessible and transparent. So whatever we need to do, we have a new PR person on board who we just met recently. So get the word out. Maybe we'll get some good points. Commissioner Duvia?
I don't know if I quite understood. So we will be issuing some $1,000 tickets until we get the new legislation in place. But I know we'll do it on a very rare basis, but there could be somebody getting a barbless hook fine for $1,000.
If I were to write that ticket, it's worth a grand.
So
unless I don't think there's any way out of this box that we've been able to.
Well, I think we're in the box. I just was trying to say, okay, now what do we we should in that communication say we've solved a lot of problems and we're trying to be helpful, and but we also created a situation that we are addressing. So don't be surprised if this happens and we'll work with you or something, because I just, if we got some of our stakeholders with that $1,000 ticket, we probably would hear it all the way back to Olympia.
Right. I'm sure that we're going to develop some sort of PR strategy to address this problem. We're just waiting for Chief Bjork to come back from vacation, and he'll be back on Monday. I talked with the administrative office of the courts to see if there was anything we could do, and they said no. They said that the bail for all of our infractions is going to be $1,025, and that it would be up to the person receiving an infraction to request mitigation or to contest the infraction to have it reduced. So really, I think our only discretion is going to be in not issuing infractions until we can get the legislation passed next year. I've already drafted a legislative fix. I'll have the chiefs looking at that on Monday, and like I said, we'll begin a PR campaign to minimize the damage.
Great.
Madam Chair, the chief just arrived from his back from his road trip, and I gave him an update about an hour ago, and I left this one off the list, so he needs to hear it from me first.
maybe if we sent him a fine or infraction for $1,025, then he had a peer review.
Well, you know, we really did try to, do the right thing, apparently the process is working against us right now, but we'll get a fix.
Great. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Joanna or Carol? Do we have any public input? Okay, the hearing is opened and closed then, and we don't have an action today, so thank you very much. We're right on schedule. You got us back.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Here's a request. Yeah.
Commissioner Schmidt.
Could you let us know what the PR campaign will be as soon as you start it? I'm sure those of us as commissioners will start getting calls when a citation goes out for $1,000. And it will be a PR nightmare, guaranteed.
We've anticipated that, and we're already working on a strategy, formulating ideas of what to do and how to move forward with that. We're also formulating a strategy for a PR for the Wax Crawl project, as that's a separate thing from this. So yeah. And we'll be notifying everyone that really the major effects of the overhaul project aren't going to be felt until about a year from now. There will be some. So. We'll definitely be working on those things in the coming months.
Okay. And we will keep the commission in the loop, especially with regard to this infraction debacle.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We've reached lunch. It's noon, so let's come back at 1 o'clock for our next briefing. Have a good lunch.
Yeah.